Hi, my name is Isha K, and if you are an upcoming artist, you should check out Go Produce right now.
What's up, smartest? Isha K is an alternative rock indie vocalist and songwriter, influenced by artists like Fleetwood Mac and James Bay. Some notable accomplishments include performing at Carnegie Hall Stern Auditorium, embarking on a self-organized mini tour of New York City, performing nationally and internationally, and working with Grammy winning producers on her releases. Isha is passionate. The grumpy sound guy, he has to let me have it.
I just want to leave record
Isha
that
is
you
passionate
did not,
to use her
you
position.
Did not make it through one single segment of the show without making a mistake, man.
You had to point that out right at the beginning, my flaws. You know, it happens. But one last thing I want to say about Isha is that she is super passionate to use her position as a woman and as a person of color in the music industry to bring a fresh perspective and sound to the alternative rock genre. Smartest, this is Isha K.
Hi!
What's up? Thank you so much for being here. We're going to make the most of your time and start with the basics.
Let's do it.
The basics. So, as this really enters your soul, I want you to know that the grumpy sound guy had a big part in making these sounds, and that's his voice in the background. The bass.
Beautiful. So beautiful.
I thought so too.
I'm like, oh.
Thank you.
There we go. So what we're doing with the basics is essentially we just want to understand you a little bit better. Cool.
Let's do it.
Still playing again.
I mean, it's just so
chaos.
Beautiful. It's just so beautiful.
Let me turn that off immediately.
I mean, it's just
there. We go.
Oh, hit me right in the soul.
I had to play it again. I had a feeling it was hitting you again.
Oh yeah, gotta wipe these tears away. Like, oh.
Whew. We can move forward from there. Yes, an emotional beginning. The basics. Why did you choose music over anything?
I don't love anything as much as I love music, honestly. I think for me, like, it is my everything. You know, it's what I breathe, it's what I hear, it's what I see, it's what, I don't know, it just consumes me in every way. And I think for me, it's music or nothing.
That makes total sense in a way, because like, I find that music really connects any and everything to one another. And you can have an experience, share it in a song, and someone else in a totally different environment can resonate to that through the music. But to go a little bit further, I wonder, you said that it was always significantly present in your life, but was there a turning point when you decided that this is what I'm doing professionally as a career for the rest of my life? Did that ever happen for you?
100%. I think, you know, I've always known that it's something that I've been really passionate about. And it's, you know, I always joke and I say, you know, music has been there when people necessarily haven't, but I completely mean that statement. Like, you know, throughout every, I think, trial and tribulation of growing up and finding my identity and finding, you know, who I am and what I guess like I'm meant to do or what makes me happy. It's music has been the answer to all of that. And I think for me, you know, I come from a family that no one is really musicians, no one works in the industry. So I remember when I had first kind of expressed my interest of going into music as a profession, my dad told me, that's great, but just know, like, we don't have any connection to this industry, and it is an industry of connection. So if you want to go into it, you're gonna have to do it on your own. And I was like, that's actually kind of cool. Like, yeah, challenge accepted.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I think from there, like right as I graduated high school, I, you know, it's a lot of work, but I was ready, like, to do whatever it takes, and I'm still doing and will do whatever it takes to just continue the journey and continue the career.
Without doing whatever it takes, you're not going to get very far, especially in this industry, especially not having had any previous connections. The first thing I wanted to say is that, as you were saying, my family, this and that, but I was waiting for the but, and I was expecting it to be a little bit more, no, don't do that because of this and this reason, but it was almost like a cautionary I still care for you very much and I support you regardless, but this is what you should be aware of. And that's amazing that you were able to receive that from your family. And honestly, I started this music adventure later on in my life, not immediately in high school or right after high school. So the fact that you're able to stay focused throughout, I applaud that.
Thank you.
My next question here. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no. Before. I was just going to say, you know, of course, like my parents were like, are you sure? And, you know, family friends had their, you know, their raised eyebrows and, you know, were like, okay. And of course, in high school, anytime I told anyone I wanted to go into music, they were like, okay, yeah, sure. What do you really want to do? And like, of course that happened, but I don't know. I almost kind of found that as like fire to the fuel where it was like, oh yeah, you think I can't? Like, you really think I can't? Okay. We'll see.
So you accepted it as a challenge.
Yeah. I feel like that's the only way to kind of deal with criticism because everyone is going to get criticized or get, you know, unsolicited advice from people. And you just got to take it in stride and be like, okay, well, that's great. That's what you think. And this is exactly why you're wrong. Otherwise,
but what happens? You know. I'm curious, what happens when you have those more challenging days where the criticism gets to you or even you criticize yourself and it's hard to shake off? Like, it happens to me. What do you do if that ever happens to you?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it happens a lot. And I think that's just part of being a musician is knowing that we're very like, we're very in touch with emotions and everything is like very much heightened, including the criticism that like you take upon yourself. But also when someone says something bad, it's not like they're saying, oh, you know, that math problem is wrong. They're saying like, oh, this song that you created is not good. And it's just a completely different kind of realm of criticism because it's almost, it can almost feel personal. Or like, why didn't this person like what I did? Why doesn't this person respond to what I'm doing? You know, why am I not getting this right? Why am I not performing this the way I want to perform it? And I think it happens to the best of us and to all of us really. But, you know, there are always days where I'll have like, you know, the existential question of what am I doing? Like, why am I doing this? And I think that's just natural. But I think I try to remind myself that, you know what, like, This is a bad day. It's not the best day, but tomorrow's not going to be like this. Or like, you know, you just got to remind yourself of the bigger picture of I'm doing this because I love it and because it's what I'm meant to do. And that's that. Like if it takes 10 years for things to happen, it takes 10 years. If it takes 40 years, it takes 40 years. But like nothing
happens.
Hopefully not.
But yeah, if it does, so be it. Yes.
Yeah.
And you're allowed to have those bad days.
Yeah. And it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. So it's okay to like stumble a few times in the marathon, but just as long as you get up and you keep running, you know, that's all you can do.
If you don't stumble in the marathon, I would be heavily concerned.
Yeah.
Like, who is this person doing this so flawlessly on their first attempt? That never happens. That's concerning.
Yeah. And I'm just clumsy anyways. So, I mean, you know I'm going to trip over my own foot at least 5 times.
As we all are. I hear that. If you could change one thing about the music industry, what would it be?
Ooh, that's a good question. Honestly, I think one of my biggest aspirations in life is to be the person that I always wanted to see in the industry growing up because, you know, my parents come from India. I was born and raised in California, but I remember growing up, I never saw anybody that even remotely looked like me in the music industry. Whether that was performing or even on the business side, like as a young kid, that just, you know, it was never there. I'm really happy to see that's kind of changing now. But I think in a perfect world, it would be a lot more diverse than it currently is on both sides of the industry, on the business side and on the performing side. Because like, I don't know, I think we're all looking to see ourselves represented in the popular culture and, you know, the popular landscape. And I feel like we're just not quite there yet. And I think especially women are, the industry is so notorious for just completely taking advantage of women and just not you know, giving them their dues. And I just, that's something that I, you know, actively wake up every day with, I'm not going to put up with that. Or like, I'm going to at least try to stand up to that standard. Cause I just, it's an, at the end of the day, this industry should be about supporting each other and, you know, helping each other grow instead of competing with each other or, you know, belittling each other. And I think, you know, I mean, the world is better with more love and compassion, and same goes for this industry.
I totally agree with you. Love and compassion needs to be spread throughout the music industry and throughout the whole world, I'd say more so. I want to say, firstly, thank you so much for contributing to this. I want to say not so much fight, but it is really, because a lot of our voices, and I say people of color, but even more so in your case, a woman as well, your voices have been suppressed for so long. And it does require every single individual coming together and doing this. So I'm an ally. I'm here. If I can do anything to help you out in the future, let's make it happen.
Let's do it.
That is one big thing that we could change in the industry. And we do have a couple more questions that we'll address in terms of struggles that you've had. But we'll move on, and then we'll address that a little bit further.
Sounds good. Cool? Let's do it.
All right. So now we're going to do the actual transition and go into the speed round.
Let's do it.
It's the speed round.
Oh, shoot.
I love the whoop at the end.
There you go. See, that's the love and compassion. That was my contribution. Everything else that you don't like, we'll blame on the grumpy sound guy. Nice. All right. And he didn't chime in, so we won. The speed round, what this is going to look like is I'm going to shoot 20 questions at you at rapid fire, and you have less than 3 seconds to answer each question before the buzzer goes off. Grumpy, can you show us what the buzzer sounds like? He's probably asleep.
Oh, shit. Okay, that's intense.
Oh, did you hear it?
Yeah, that was intense.
Okay, cool. So the speed round, I'm going to throw these questions at you, and then 3 seconds or less to answer each. And then afterwards, we can justify them if you have anything. Cool? All right. 3, 2, 1. What is your favorite city?
London.
How many songs have you released on Spotify?
8, 9?
What's your favorite meal?
Oh my gosh. Weetabix with peanut butter.
Who is an artist that you currently find the most exciting?
Adele.
What is your favorite social media platform?
None of them.
Yes, sir. What is your favorite activity to do?
Cuddling with my dog.
The next round is on me. What are you having?
Water.
Is London your forever home?
I hope so.
Do you prefer adventure or leisure?
Adventure.
Is this stirring up to be the best interview you've ever had?
100%.
Hey, what is your favorite Fleetwood Mac song?
That's like asking me to choose a favorite. Yeah, it's not happening.
Fair. Oh, if movie is to watch, then Netflix is too.
Huh? What?
Do you have any nicknames?
Isha K. Ish is a big one.
Dope. Do you prefer rhythm, melody, or harmony?
All of the above.
Is water wet?
Yes.
Make the first sound that comes to mind. What is your favorite instrument to listen to?
Saxophone.
Dead or alive, who would you have dinner with?
Jeff Buckley.
Who is your all-around favorite person in the world?
My mom.
Could you imagine a world without music?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, that's painful. We made it through the speed round.
Woohoo! Only failed like 4 times. So all
We made it. I mean, I think I made a couple more mistakes than you did in getting us to the speed round, but congratulations. Okay, before I ask you about any of those ones, is there anything you'd like to justify from
so,
your responses?
I said my favorite person in the world is my mom. I would also like to add, Dad, I love you dearly. But mom is mom. Mom is mom.
That sounds like secondhand.
I'd probably have given the same response. Dad, I mean, Dad understands, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. I hope so. I mean, if he's hearing this after the interview, and if you get like an email from me saying, hey, I need a place to stay, it's because my dad has disowned me.
I told you I got you covered, so we'll make it work.
Awesome.
That's awesome. Fleetwood Mac, though. You said you couldn't decide because you've got so many. So maybe top two?
Top two. Songbird and... Oh, so hard. So hard. Seven Wonders.
Yeah. Ah, great song. And then, okay, the last question I'd like to expand on. You said that you like rhythm, melody, and harmony. You prefer all three. Those are the three typical components of a song. But when you think of song, or like when you start creating or composing, what's the first element that comes to you?
Probably melody. I think I hear things before like I play them, and some of my favorite songs I've actually written without any instruments. I'll literally just be out on a walk and I'll get the idea for like a melody, and then after I've constructed the melody, I'll go back and I'll find like the harmonic elements that best suit the melody in terms of chord choices and stuff. So I feel like melody is typically what comes to mind for me first, but it's all, I mean, you can't have one without the other, can you?
it's really hard. I was talking about this with actually one of my producers, and the way he was able to break it down was quite beautiful, because like without one, you can't really have the other, but each is in itself a very integral part of the whole system.
100%.
So it's kind of neat. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was more romantic about it. Let me move on before I embarrass myself and say something he didn't say. And dive into what's your take.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. What's your take?
Right. So
they can't take that away from you.
Yeah. And I think that was something that just always felt really good.
Which is important. And so quick question. There's no real regrets for starting at that age then, hey? Okay, so obviously you're starting at that age, you were having these kinds of experiences, you're almost peeing because of the shivers, all of that's real, it's real, real. In hindsight, now not being a 13-year-old, what do you think you learned the most that you apply to your career?
I think when I was a 13-year-old, like I said, I was very self-conscious, very much like cared about what people in the audience thought, what, you know, people around me thought, like just, you know, other people. And I think one of the biggest things I've learned through performing and just through like operating in this industry, but also growing up, is I don't care what other people think. Like, you know what? I'm going to go up there and have a good time and trust my gut and just put on a good show. And like, I kind of try to let that kind of resonate throughout everything, not just performing, like trying to care less about what other people are thinking and just trying to do right by me more. Of course,
how do you do that?
I mean,
like how did you do that?
I think initially it started off with like getting a little bit more adventurous on stage. Like before, I used to just stand in one spot and like hands at my side and sing. But then it got a little bit more of like, okay, well, what if this time I walk around the stage while I perform? Oh, that was fun. Okay, what if this time, like, I literally point to someone, make eye contact, and serenade them for a good chunk? Oh, that was really fun. And it was just kind of building on that, like, that way. I think, like, the best way to start something or, like, try something new is to baby step it. And I think just with every baby step, I was like, oh, wait, no, I want to take a bigger step. Oh, I want to take a bigger step. And like, you know, I feel like now it's at the point where I could be on stage and like, I could ask people like, hey, if you know the chorus of this song, sing along. And like, even if they don't sing along, I'll be like, all right.
Okay.
Thanks guys. Yeah. You left me hanging, but whatever. It's a good time.
But that's the process, and that's what's the beautiful, like, you started this whole thing off by saying I was absolutely terrible, and I'm not putting those words in your mouth. Like, you said that about yourself, and you were the one who went back onto that stage every single time, despite having that feeling, being like, this is where I can be me. This is where I have fun. And let me test this a little bit, because each and every single time, it's your first, right? You can say, oh, I've never performed. This is my first performance.
100%.
But all of a sudden, you're in a new venue. Now it's your first time performing there. And then you're at the same venue, but you're wearing a different shirt. So it's your first time wearing that shirt performing. So like, get the whole thing of like first out of your head, just start doing. 100%. That's where you're going to really learn. You're going to thrive from that. It's a beautiful story. That's cool. So between then and now, you've gone to BIM, you started the whole at 13. How would you summarize that in 90 seconds? And then from there, we're going to like jump into some Recording Academy stuff, but also what you want to do in the next 5 years, almost like your goals planning.
So I think it just started like when I was young, it was something that I always wanted to do. And the more I performed, the more of an addiction to performing and to music I kind of developed. And I just wanted more. It was just a craving of, okay, cool, I played at this open mic. Okay, cool, I want to play on this competition. Okay, cool, I'm about to play Carnegie Hall in a showcase. And then it just became like, okay, now I want to put my own music out there. I want to release music. I want to gig. I want to travel and gig. I want to write. And it became like an all-consuming matter of I need music. Like I need to try all these things. I need to put my own music out there. I need to do interviews with Go Produce and have fun and meet new people. And I think it has been such an overwhelmingly wonderful experience and growth, musically, but also as an individual. Hopefully that was like decent.
That was dope. That was very, very nicely done.
Okay, cool.
Very nicely done. Okay, so we're doing great for What's Your Take here. I'm going to take a slight shift, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Recording Academy and you serving on the board, that kind of stuff. And so you said that opportunity is available to college students in their final year?
College students, period. Yeah. So,
interesting.
Yeah, and so the representative rule is like there's only one representative for the GRAMMU program per chapter, but any college student who is interested in pursuing a career in the music industry can apply to be a member of GRAMMU. So if there's anyone out there who is currently in college who wants to work in the music industry or has an interest in going into the music industry, I highly, highly, highly recommend applying for the GRAMMU program. It is life-changing. And the number of incredible experiences that you will have just being a part of this program is just incomparable. That's awesome. Yeah.
Can you just spell GRAMMU for us, please?
Yes. GRAMMY. And then the letter U.
Nice and easy.
Nice and easy.
I was like, is it that simple? I'm going to ask just in case. Perfect.
Super
yes.
easy.
Dope. Okay. So let's talk about artist consultations.
Yeah.
You've been doing this for some time. What have you seen is the most common struggle that upcoming artists have with their brand, and how can they fix this?
I think the biggest challenge, and this is something that I struggle with as well as an artist, is just there is so much content being pushed outside right now with every social media. You know, you've got thousands upon thousands of Instagram posts being pushed out every day by people. You've got thousands and thousands of songs getting uploaded onto these streaming sites. How do you saturate? Like, how do you break through all that information, all that content? So I feel like this is a big struggle that everyone really has, unless you're like a Taylor Swift or an Ariana Grande. How do I get myself known? How do I get myself out there? And I think it's just a matter of really engaging and trying as many opportunities as you can, trying as many fresh, creative ideas to get your content out there, to get your music in front of new people, because it's hard. But doing things like live streaming and, you know, occasionally promoting posts on the social medias, or even doing things like this where you're partnering up with other people in the creative industry to, you know, tell your story and get their story too. Like through doing things like that, you're being introduced to a new audience, but also the people that you're partnering with are being introduced to your audience.
Right.
So I think it's tough. And in a world where social media is how news spreads, like it's getting tougher, but I think we just got to keep trying, don't we?
Yep, we have to keep on trying. One example, or I suppose one perspective that someone shared with me is that social media in itself isn't really getting easier, and we have to spend time on it, unfortunately, as part of the business, like trying to connect with individuals that way. But if you go 20, 30 years ago, people were like literally just standing on the side of the block, approaching random people doing the same kind of thing. So it wasn't necessarily easy then either. It's just a different kind of monster. And if you're wanting to enter this arena, this is what you're going to have to deal with. But yeah, it is incredibly overwhelming. A lot of people won't realize the amount of effort. Like that's in itself like three full-time jobs, branding, 100%. Marketing, sales, let alone the artistry. So yeah, absolutely. Which is perfect. How do you balance all of this, dealing with all of that, plus your work, plus travel, plus, you know, just being Isha K?
It's hard. It is really hard. And I think it's still something that I try and balance as much as I can. And I still struggle with it. But I think it's about like prioritizing, you know, like in this given moment, what are my priorities? Is it posting content on Instagram or is it working on new music? And then also balancing work. So it's hard. It's really hard. But I think everyone kind of has to find a balance that works for them. Like currently right now, I am just about to start or am starting pre-production on some new music. And I know that that's going to take some time. And I want to use like, you know, the time that I would spend editing content and pictures for social media, like I want to channel that time to pre-production. And so though it may not mean posting as many like things on my Instagram feed, I can capture that through stories, you know? So I think it's just prioritizing like, you know, here are my eggs, which baskets do I want to put them in instead of like, I'm going to put everything in one, like one at a time. So it's hard. Like the phrase you need to wear many hats in this industry is so true.
Yeah. Is that where you see a lot of artists struggling?
It's hard.
Most commonly?
Oh yeah. I think it's always like, it's a tango between, you know, you have to be the artist, you have to be the manager, you have to be the business person. So I think it's hard for, you know, someone that's extremely creative and extremely musical to do the business stuff. It's hard for someone that's extremely business oriented to take the time to do the artistic stuff. Like, it's hard. And I think for every person, it's so individual, which makes it even harder. There's no like, you know, one trick pony for everyone. Everyone's just got to figure it out themselves, which is tough, but
yeah.
You know,
my next question would have been, had you not said that specifically, related to Grammy U, are there other places where you would recommend artists learning the industry better? For example, going to school or internships, direct experience, podcasts like this, but it's probably just an individual experience, eh?
It's an individual experience. But no opportunity to learn is a bad opportunity to learn. Whether it's attending conferences, whether it's watching podcasts, listening to podcasts, working with other people, you know, even just sitting in a studio and watching other people work. Internships are great. Like, you know, I mean, a college degree never hurts. I personally got my undergrad in communications because I did a lot of research into what music business professionals did when they were in college, and a lot of them had communications degrees. So honestly, it's another door into the industry. So I think, you know, everyone's got to figure it out for themselves, but like I would think twice before turning down an opportunity to learn.
Absolutely, regardless of what it is. And to add to that too, despite what your medium for learning is, I would heavily recommend to network. 100%. Just connect with as many people as you can, but be genuine about your connections. Don't just like spam them and then leave, because that's definitely a lot worse. I also read just yesterday, 25 legitimate connections is a lot better than 1,000 random emails.
Totally.
So make those meaningful relationships no matter where you are, and then something will come from it.
Absolutely.
Something will always come from it.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Okay. Tell us your role at NAMM, please.
Yeah. So I am really, really, really excited to be working for NAMM. I just started with them about 2 months ago, and I am the marketing coordinator. I work on the marketing communications team, and I'm so proud to be a part of an organization that is so dedicated to serving like the people. You know, I think it's rare to find organizations that are as, you know, as community oriented on the inside as they seem on the outside. But honestly, NAMM is all of that and more. Like, everything that we work for and work towards is to help the greater community and to promote music education, to support music retailers, to support manufacturers, distributors. It's honestly been such an incredible experience, one that I never really saw coming, but one that I'm really, really grateful for, to be a part of the NAMM-ally, as we call it.
The NAMM-ally. I like that. I like that. And I'm curious to see how your time there unfolds. Community is everything. I mean, I feel like a lot of people are getting to realize that more and more as we evolve as humans. So that's very interesting. National Association of Music Merchants. Check that out. Curious, do you have any fun facts about them before we move on from NAMM?
I mean, I am non-shamelessly repping the company.
The NAMM show.
Yeah, the NAMM show. I would say some interesting facts are this upcoming year, 2022, we have got the NAMM show in June. So from the weekend of June 3rd to June 5th, 2022 at the Anaheim Convention Center is this year's NAMM show. It's bound to be an unforgettable event. So, I mean, if you're down to attend the NAMM show this year, I think, you know, register as soon as you can, because it's not something that you want to miss for sure.
And would registration be on NAMM.com?
Yes, NAMM.org.
NAMM.org. Okay, I will make sure to include that in the show notes, our smartest, so that we will not miss that. NAMM.org.
Yes.
Oof, we're going nicely. This has been a fantastic conversation. We've got one more segment of the show. This segment is called Clear the Air.
Oh, yeah.
Hey. See, you're getting a little bit more uncomfortable so that next time you perform, it will be nice and easy.
There we go. Exactly.
Okay, so in Clear the Air, we've got actually one of our fans. She's a smartest and the grumpy sound guy who's going to be asking you two different questions. The first question here is from Beth. Let me play that. Can you see this?
Yes. Hey, Aisha. My name is Beth. What has been your greatest struggle as a woman and as a person of color in the music industry?
Thanks. Great question. I think my greatest struggle has been, you know, on when I attend a lot of these shows or performances that I'm in, people often will see me and they won't necessarily take me seriously. Whether that's because of my age or because of my race or because of my gender, I feel like there have definitely been times where I feel like I'm not taken seriously, and I'll get to a show and they'll be like, oh, okay, great. But then, you know, I also really enjoy it when that happens, because I know that once I get on that stage, that same person that was kind of questioning, you know, me as an artist or as a musician, like, I know that when I give a good performance, they're going to retract their oh and their ah, because, like, I have faith in myself. So I think my biggest challenge in a, you know, to put a long story short, is people having less faith in me initially, but the fact that, like, I have faith in myself kind of pushes me through that. So that's a great question, though. Really great.
I thought
question.
So too. Yeah. Thank you, Beth. Shout out to Beth for asking that question. Have you been able to garner techniques over the years to almost not like demand, but like, I guess demand that respect ahead of time before you actually get onto the stage and perform? Like, don't treat me like another, I guess, like, not a human.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think I just try it. I really emphasize being nice and being kind and compassionate over everything. So I feel like in the face of anything, if you're just nice and kind, like, that will shut people up. You know, if someone's mean to you, if you're just like, hope you have a great day, and you smile and, like, you know, you show them that you're still going to be nice to them no matter what, I think that really goes a long way. So I always try at least to just really present myself with kindness and with compassion for other people. And just with professionalism, because I think at the end of the day, people forget that as much as music is a passion, for people like you and I, it's also a job. So like, we have to be professional because it's our careers. Yeah. It's not just something we do.
Literally. Yeah. I challenge all of our listeners here to be kind in those kinds of stressful situations. Approach them from this way. It's not like, ooh, they're out to get me. They kind of are, but if you turn your perspective and be like, hey, they're giving me an opportunity to become more patient, to become a better individual, you're almost like letting them help you level up by them giving you a difficult situation. So just change your perspective and you can become unstoppable. And that's how you will ultimately get that respect down the road. So I like your tip there. Thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
Beth, that was Beth. Now we've got Grumpy Sound Guy. Can you share your question?
Isha, I've been looking into your socials and I've noticed a very defined aesthetic. So I want to ask how you came to it, to the whole black and white thing with accented colors. What would you recommend for people who are starting to find or looking for their like aesthetic or branding? I just want to know.
That's a good question. And honestly, so glad you recognize that, because that's been like an aesthetic I've been cultivating for a while. I didn't even like initially plan to cultivate it, but once I started doing it, I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. I think like for me, I stumbled upon the black and white with accents of red as just a complete accident. I think for me as an artist, my brand colors have always been like red, black, denim, white, silver. So I was like, okay, well, why not really accentuate that across all aspects of like my identity as a brand? So like on my Instagram, it's all black or white, unless there's like a pop of red in an image. Even in some of my album artwork, black and white with silver and pop of red. I feel like, you know, we all need something to kind of stand out again in this day and age where everything is on social media and there's so much on social media. I'm so sorry for that background noise. That is my clock.
Totally cool.
Yeah, my clock always just loves to make a grand appearance.
Hello, I am here.
Yeah, I'm here. It's noon.
Yeah.
But
that's very English of you too.
No, that you did answer that. My follow-up to that would be for other artists that don't necessarily want to steal exactly what you're doing with the black and white with the accented color, how would they go about beginning to like find what their brand can be if they have no marketing background?
I think it's just think about yourself as an artist and identify like what you stand for, what your statement of purpose is, like what your USP, your unique selling point is, and really accentuate that. Like personally for me, I wanted to come across as like someone that's very authentic, because a lot of my inspirations are, you know, from the 60s, 70s, 80s. So that's not current. So the black and white is kind of like an homage to the older times. And then the pop of color is that little bit of edge, that little bit of like, you know, because I feel like in a lot of my music, actually, there's a little bit of an edge. So it's taking that like that very classic black and white, old school, like, you know, recognizable thing and adding that little bit of edge. So see if you can come up with something like that for your own music and also for your own image, whether it's like country with a little bit of metal. You know, you can think of so many cool things like that with like maybe cowboy boots and then like, you know, rhinestones or stuff. I don't know if that would be applicable.
But I see the direction you're going. You know, do something that is familiar, that you can relate with, that you are very comfortable with, and then tweak it to make it you.
Exactly. Like, okay, maybe a better one for cowboy or country and metal would be like a cowboy hat in black leather with like those, you know, little spiky things.
Oh,
you know,
shoot.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I think
it's just, you're getting creative on us here.
It's just finding things like that to be like, that's my thing. you know, yeah, and yeah. that's the thing that encapsulates like me, my music, my vibe. So I think like if you think about yourself and your brand hard enough, you'll come up with something cool for sure.
It'll come out. Yeah. That's awesome. Okay. Grumpy, do you have any final words?
Thank you so much for being here. And I think it's very important for us to ponder the entire NAMM thing. And you gave us some really good advice. So that's good.
Yeah. Well, I'm so happy and honored to be your guest on season 5. It's as much of an honor as it is for me.
That's awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much, Grumpy. Isha K, do you have any final words?
Just that you guys rock, and it is so important to have like voices like you in this community that are helping other people tell their stories. So thank you so much for all that you do. I'm so glad that we were able to do this, and I'm super, super excited to continue following along the Go Produce journey and just so grateful. Thank you guys.
Let's grow together. Thank you so much for being here. Where can our listeners find you?
You can find me on all music streaming platforms under Isha K, and that is spelled E-S-H-A-K. I am also on social media at E-S-H-A-K Music, so Isha K Music. I love chatting with you guys. I love, you know, interacting with new fans. So, you know, very, very happy to say hi and get to know you guys.
Big shout out to Isha. Thank you, Isha. That is it for this episode, Smartists. If you want to connect with me or other like-minded individuals who also listen to the show, then go to goproduce.ca/groups to check out our free Facebook page. My name is Big Lou, and I want to see you there. We out.